This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Blog on the Pod with me, Frances Watson. Now, before we start, I just want to set the scene. We've recently published a series of blogs entitled When Bonds Go Bad, exploring the challenges and opportunities in the world of fixed income today. Part of that series looks at investor behaviour and more specifically how we as investors tend to react to today's low yield environment. And is our reaction the right one? Well, here to discuss this and more, I'm joined by John Southall, Head of Solutions Research. John, welcome to LGIM Talks.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, your blog focuses on investor behaviour, John, in relation to low bond yields, which in itself forms part of behavioural science. So before we go into the subject in more depth, just tell us briefly what behavioural science means.
Well, behavioural science is really a massive subject area, but the part I'm going to focus on here is something called prospect theory. And this is basically a successful theory, successful in the sense that it's quite accurately describes how people actually behave in different situations of the psychology of choice. And that has lots of applications in behavioral economics and in finance. A really important thing to note here is that the theory is really about describing how people actually tend to behave, as opposed to how they should behave, you know, if they were purely rational robots or Vulcans who could always assess the situation entirely rationally. A key aspect of prospect theory is that whilst people are usually found to be risk averse with respect to gains, which is no surprise and is quite sensible, they're actually found to be risk seeking with respect to losses, which makes a lot less sense and can lead to various inconsistencies.
I understand that. So it's a bit like going to casino, putting it all on black, doubling up if you've made heavy losses. And we know about that. But I just wonder what this has all got to do with bond yields, John. I mean, over the past 30 years, you talk about investor losses. We've probably seen one of the biggest bull markets of all time. So what's investor behavior got to do and behavioral science got to do with the world of low yield bonds?
Well, yeah, so with the huge decline in real yields that we've seen over the past few decades, investors find themselves in a losing situation on a forward-looking basis as yields are just so pitiful. So people find themselves in one of these, what's known in behavioral science as a loss frame, i.e. what feels like a losing situation. And as such, they can be tempted to take more risk, even though that's not necessarily a good idea. So bond yields are pitiful. They're sort of future returns look quite poor. But importantly, this isn't just for bonds. If bond yields fall, as they have done, we should generally expect lower future returns across all asset classes. So whilst there's no question that bonds are less attractive than historically, it's much less clear whether the compensation that equity investors receive for taking risk above what they could earn from bonds has changed. And the relative attractiveness of different assets, which is really what matters for investment decisions, might actually be quite similar to history. So it's true. Bonds offer a kind of a certain loss after inflation, and that's very unfortunate. But if you take risk, you could do even worse, and people shouldn't forget that.
And that, I think, is the key, isn't it? That, you know, in a low interest rate environment, as we've been seeing, you know, with the Fed pumping out all the QE and depressing interest rates, that future returns have been brought forward. Now, I know that you've done a lot of work on defined benefit and defined contribution investment strategy problems. And you've looked at how these two types of investors behave in this low yield world. But can you just tell us, John, if there are any differences, first of all, between DB and DC investors and how they behaved when faced in the world we're in today?
So there's a variety of differences, quite a few differences, not all of which I can cover here. But an important difference actually relates to capital constraints. But before I explain that difference, I should probably explain an important similarity, and that's that both DB and DC investors should care about the level of interest rates. So if real interest rates fall, and that fall is unhedged, then prospective outcomes are worse in both cases. This isn't necessarily so obvious in the DC world because there's no actuary there providing regular funding updates, but the economics is very similar. Now, as bond yields have fallen, it is probably fair to say that the risks of choosing to underhedge interest rate risk are not nearly as great as they once were. In particular, there is likely a kind of a lower bound on how low nominal rates can get, even if that number isn't zero, as many people once assumed. So that isn't to say that bonds are necessarily mispriced or that interest rate risk isn't unrewarded. It's just saying we can't possibly repeat the falls that we've seen historically. Now, for DB schemes, that fact might not actually impact their strategy very much, because they can often hedge interest rate risk away without necessarily compromising their target return. And they can do that through LDI.
LDI, John, just jumping in there, sorry, you're talking about liability-driven investments, yeah?
Exactly. This is basically a combination of bonds and derivatives, such as interest rate swaps, that allow the assets and liabilities for a DB scheme to move more in line with each other. And so LDI can actually help DB schemes get all the bond exposure they want without necessarily compromising their expected return, because they can still invest in growth assets. So for DB schemes, it's the case that interest rate risk is lower, but they still may as well hedge away that risk anyway, because they can do so without compromising their expected return in many cases.
For DC investors, of course, they don't have the capital to actually do that. They don't have to. I mean, presumably, I'm a DC investor. I don't even know what an interest rate swap is, if I'm totally honest. So we don't have the capital and we don't have the knowledge to be able to do that. So as DC investors, how can we protect returns?
Yeah, exactly. So for DC investors, even though in principles or theoretically LDI might make some sense, there's little appetite for it in practice for a variety of reasons. And that means DC investors have to compromise a bit more. They need to sort of make a decision or trade-off between hedging interest rate risk and seeking growth, as opposed to DB investors who can sort of get the best of both worlds via LDI. So as under-hedging risk falls, it could make sense for DC investors to actually shift the balance away from bonds and into equities. So in that particular circumstance, with that constraint, it could actually make some sense for DC investors to risk up.
So risk up, but does that mean an emphasis on greater diversification? We've been told, haven't we, repeatedly not to put all our eggs in one basket. But if you're saying that it makes sense to have a much greater proportion of the portfolio in equities, in your view, rather than bonds, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying in particular circumstances, it could be appropriate to take more risk generally. And there are various other things that investors could do in response to low yields. So as you say, they could revisit diversification, or they could consider branching out into alternative risk premium. Now, arguably, if you want to be really picky about it, you could say these actions are not really a response to low yields, because these are all good things that you should probably be doing no matter what the yield environment.
Yeah,
you
should, doing so, anyway.
In a high yield environment, you should still be diversifying. You should still consider alternative risk premium, and you might also still be looking to reduce costs for example, in some way.
And the cost equation is also key, because, you know, if alpha generation by itself is not enough, then you've got to look at your cost line, haven't you, to make the investment return that you require.
Yes, although I suppose on the cost point, so lower costs are always a good thing, a bit like diversification is always a good thing, regardless of the level of yield. So if, for example, you manage to reduce your cost by 1% per year, that would save you, roughly speaking, 20% of your portfolio over a 20-year horizon. And that would be true, you know, whether yields are 0% or yields are 10%. I do think there's a psychological element. I can definitely understand behaviorally that people are likely to pay more attention to costs when yields are lower. I think people often look at the proportion of the return that's being eaten up by costs. So if expected returns are low, then as a proportion of future returns, a particular cost level can be eating up quite a high proportion of that. But really, that's the wrong thing to focus on. It should be the proportion of your total portfolio that's being eaten up by those costs that really matters.
I have to say, John, that what you've painted isn't a terribly optimistic picture, although perhaps a realistic one. Are there any silver linings to a low interest rate world in your view?
Yes. So I think, although strictly rationally, people should focus on things like diversification and reducing costs and looking at alternative risk premium and all these different things, regardless of the yield environment, it could be that low yields effectively give a catalyst for people to review their portfolios and to look at these things more closely, which they might have been a little bit too relaxed about in a high yield environment.
Yeah, so literally we're having to do a bit more homework, or we were having to make our pension pots work a bit harder. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So you're trying to, it's sort of making you sweat the assets a little bit harder, which arguably you should be doing even if yields are high. But this might be a case of giving you the incentive you need to improve your portfolio efficiency.
Great. Okay. Well, I'm off to sweat my assets, John. On that note, thanks very much for joining LGIM Talks. Thank you.
Thanks.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, lgim.com.